Father, we thank you for the opportunity once more to share your word. Lord, we know that you are able to do all things and do them well. Lord, we've enjoyed the service that we've been a part of as this fellowship has come together tonight. But Lord, we know that you have a message that, Lord, we need to hear. And Lord, I know it'll be a blessing to each one of us. And Lord, I ask you to speak through me and use this vessel, Lord, as you would, in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, I don't know really how many know that the theme of this conference this year was Call to Love. And, you know, I've heard a lot about faith, but I haven't heard too much about the love that has resulted that faith. And I had someone I talked to on the phone a week or so ago said, you know what? I'd like to hear about God's love. Well, I'm not coming through. Well, I'm still going to talk. Can you hear me out there? Okay. Get me adjusted. Oh, for the recording? Well, all right. Well, you do what you need to do, and I'm going to do what I have to do. You know, there's not one of us here probably hasn't exercised some faith in the last day or two just getting here. I know at least three couples that had problems with transportation from either the airport or the bus station, myself included. And, you know, but I was believing that when I made those rides and those transportation arrangements, that they were going to take place the way I planned them. And, of course, that didn't happen. But my wife will tell you, when I got to the airport here, and first thing I did when I got my baggage was, as I called Metro, you know, and I said, we're here. And they said, well, you're supposed to be at gate one. I said, we're at gate four. I said, nobody told us that when we made the ride. And I said, they said, well, what airport are you at? I don't know what airport I'm at. I came in on Southwest. Oh, that's Humphrey. Well, his driver didn't know that gate four at Humphrey was where I was. He's running around the other airport, and he went to six gates. And when he didn't find me, his mind started to work, and he said, well, maybe he's around at the other airport. So, you know, my faith was not too great at that point in Metro transportation. And, you know, but I thank God that he gave me enough brains to use what he enabled me with. And sometimes, folks, that's all it takes. Because if you sit there and wait for an hour and then call them and they say, well, you missed your ride. It'll be 4 hours before we get back to you. You know, and I wasn't willing to go through that. So I decided to stay on top of it. And I thank God that he led me in that direction. Now, the passage that I was given to speak on is from Hebrews 11:7, and it goes this way. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. If you notice, that verse starts off with one word and ends up with the same word. Faith was what Noah exhibited in his life, because in Genesis 6 and 9, it tells us that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. There's only two men in the Bible during that period that that statement was ever made about. One of them has my name. I don't know how he got it. But I'm glad to have it. You know, as a keepsake there, I try to keep up with him as I'm sitting here. And Brother Bruce said, are you here, Enoch? I was thinking, well, only if the Lord doesn't call me home in the next instant. Because that's what I I live with the expectation of that God's going to call his church out of this world any day now. And I'm not living with the expectation of the world's going to get it together and we're going to resolve the problems here on earth. I'm looking to walk with him, and I want to take somebody with me. All right. If you're not ready, I hope you are before I get done tonight. Because you need to be. And how's that going to happen? If Noah was a just man, you're not, it doesn't mean that he did everything right, that he had it all together. It means that he was kind, gentle, considerate, a man who thought about other people other than himself. There's a lot of folks in our midst today that ain't thinking about anybody but themselves. And some of them call themselves Christians, I'm afraid to say. But God put us here on this earth so that we could show the world what it's like to live a life that is glorifying to him. If you got any other intention of living your Christian life, you need to go back and start reading again. Because he didn't leave you here just to take up some space and see what you could have, how much fun you could have. There were three things that the world was into that God spoke about. One of them was the thoughts of their hearts were evil continually. All they thought about was what they wanted. Me, myself, and I. I used to think that way. How many of you did? I'm sure you did. Before the Lord came into your life, that's all you thought about. You might have said, oh, I like so-and-so. But that was because of what they did for you or how they treated you or what you could get out of them. But really, it was all about me, myself, and I. Jesus gave us a new heart. He said, I'm going to make a new creature out of you. And if he hasn't made one out of you, folks, now is the time to do it because tomorrow is not promised. And, you know, Noah was seen by God as perfect in his generation. He had a heart for God. Doesn't mean he was without sin, because every man born has a sin nature. But he had an intention to try to serve God and honor him as the one who was in charge of his life. He did it well enough for God to say that he was walking with him. God doesn't walk where somebody's going in one direction and he's going in the other. When it happened in the Garden of Eden, what did God do with him? He put him out. He said, you got to go. And that's a paraphrase, by the way. But we know the result was their happy home was broken. And a lot of ours are broken because of the same thing. You got people that are living together, but they want to do and have two different lifestyles. A Christian only has one life, and that's to serve Jesus Christ. When he put you on that road of faith, that's when you started walking it. Now, you can't get on there by yourself. You can't jump up and say, like some people, I'm going to church and get my act cleaned up. Every time somebody tells me that, I tell them, hey, you can do that right here and now. If the Lord's speaking to your heart, now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Because tomorrow, you may feel entirely different about it. I've seen it happen too many times. Oh, woman come out of the house, said to me, Enoch, you know, the Lord's got you tugging at my heart. I said, well, you better answer it because he's talking to you now. You know, he's not. You know what happened? She ended up getting thrown out of the house and her living friend with her. And she may not come to him for another 10 years or may never come. I don't know. But he was speaking to her at that time. So it's foolish to say, I'm going to wait until I get ready. You can't take God and put him in your pocket and make him do what you want him to do. You got to answer when he's calling you. And he's calling you because he, what? Loves you. He's not calling you to tie you down and wrap you up and say, you can't do this and you can't. He wants you to do everything he intended for you to do. And one of the things is that he wants you to see him as he is. He said he is rewarder of them that seek him diligently. God is the only thing in this world that is worth living for. Amen. Because you can't help anybody else till you get your life right and they can see him in you. Because you're not going to do right till you do. And that's, you know, what's wrong. Everybody's talking about, well, I'm not such a bad person. I go to church on Sunday and I pay my tithes and I help my neighbors and I do, you know, good community services and all. But if you're not saved, you're a self-righteous person on your way to the lake of fire. You're not going to twist God's arm and believe, well, I'll take you in because you who you think you are. That road of faith is only directed in one direction, and that's to the cross of Christ. Jesus walked that road, and he finished the work that you and I can be receive the benefit of, because as Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house, he had to work at it. God told him what to do. He followed the directions. You don't find anywhere in the Bible where anybody did the opposite of what God told them and got anywhere. They didn't go anywhere. In fact, a lot of them ended up in just what they were afraid of. They ended up losing their life or losing the battle or being, lost, period. But if you follow the Lord, we know that you're going to end up where he intends to get you to from that starting point in faith. Now, faith is not something that we conjure up. God gives every man a measure of faith. That means I have the ability to make the choice. You know, that's all it is. You can say yes or no. And God's given us all that ability. But if you use it or misuse it, you're still going to be responsible for the outcome. Because the road has already been paved to glory. Jesus walked it. He gave us the example. He's the one that finished it successfully. It says that he was faithful, the faithful witness. There's only one faithful witness. It's not you or me. Because somewhere along the line, we're going to stumble. But we get up and say, Lord, I didn't do too well with that one, but I'm going to get back on the road because I want to see you build a work in me that will be completed one day. And I know I'm not going to lay here in the mire and become unfruitful. That's what happens to Christians when we're out there doing our thing. Oh, yeah, by the way, God looked at the world and said, it's corrupt. They'd corrupted all their way. Not his way, but God had given them the way to live, and they took it and made something else out of it. What is man doing today? Doing the same thing. He doesn't want God in his life. He doesn't want to even be reminded that there is a God. And he's going his own way. And yet, is God going to stop and say, I throw up his hands and say, I give up? No, he just keeps on doing what he does best. And that's reaching out to those that are lost out there in the world and saying, come home. In fact, he tells us to go out and compel them to come in. That's right. You know, we're sitting up here enjoying the benefits, but there's a whole lot of folks out there around us in this hotel, out there on these streets in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that don't know him. And their future doesn't look too bright. If you haven't got a burden for the lost, you need to get one, because Jesus came into this world for the sinner. He said, I came to save the lost. The righteous don't need a Savior. Their self-righteousness is not going to submit to the will of God. Neither are they going to humble their hearts, because God despises a heart that's full of pride. He's not going to beat your head over the head to get you to say yes. You got to use that faith that he gave you and say out of a heart that realizes your need. You know, one of the things I realized at 5 years old was I was messed up. Nobody had to tell me that I didn't know how to obey my parents. Because every time they turn around trying to do something, they told me not to do. So I didn't need a big Bible theology course to find that out. I realized that it was just the way I was. And so it wasn't until I found somebody that was willing to tell me that somebody had already taken care of the problem that I was able to do something about it. And, you know, I love every one of you. I sit here, I listen to the choir today, listen, singing that song, and just the words touched my heart because that's the way it is. We're called to love. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to love our brothers and sisters. And, you know, I don't love the sin they do. Hey, we can hate the sin, but you got to love the person. You got to see past what's happening in their lives because they don't have the power of God in their life, nor the ability to overcome the situation in and of themselves. And when you think, well, they're just wicked, hey, there but for the grace of God go I. Because I remember a man named Moody, D.L. Moody, was walking down the street with another pastor one day, and he saw a man laying in the gutter, all drunked up, and the fellow turned to him and said, boy, isn't that a shame? And Moody said, that's where Moody came from. He said, there but for the grace of God go I. So you never know what a person's experienced in their life until you've been there yourself. And I'm telling you, I'll hug a coke addict or a drunk just as quick as I'll hug anyone in this room because I don't see any less them being any less important in God's eyes than you are because He's saving people and He's turning them around in life and taking that sin out of their heart so that they can serve Him. He establishes them on the road because of what His Son did. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's not my goodness or my ability to be somebody. I can't be anybody if I'm not in Christ. Amen. And it's only because of Christ that I am somebody. And you know what? The road is paved with victory. God has given us the victory. We need to start living like we've got it. Stop worrying about the little things that happen to us because you're going to put off this suit one day whether you want to or not. And it's going to wear out. You know, I may stand up here looking like I'm healthy, but I got a few aches and pains too, just like the rest of you. I just have learned that it doesn't do me any good to let everybody know that I've got a neck ache or a back ache or a knee that's hurting or what. Because all that does is get you down. You're thinking, oh boy, this is what it's all about. No, it's not. I can say, Lord, hey, I need your help to get through this. Because just as an example, I've had a headache all day long. I came in here and the Lord has taken it away because He knows that I don't preach too well when I'm depressed. Because that's what it really does to me. A sinus headache really gets me depressed. But He cleared my head up. And I got up so I could give Him the glory. Amen? Amen. That's the way it's got to be. You can't face it and say, I'm not going to do that because I don't feel up to it. It's not me doing it anyway. Amen. If you don't believe that the Lord can speak through you, then you maybe need to sit down till you learn how to. Because He will. I was getting ready to say to my sister there, I don't have to preach a message. She already preached one. But I praise God for it, because she will get up and speak what the Lord puts in her heart. And more of us need to be able to do that. And the only way you're going to do that is get your focus on what God is doing in your heart. And that's only going to be done through the faith that He's given you as a result of the change that He's made in your life. That faith that you now have is in the victory that He won at Calvary. That's a finished work. It's not a partial work. It's being lived out in us, but He's the one that's going to see that we get there. He said He gave us a down payment. The Holy Spirit is going to be with us until we get home. And at that time, He's going to be more in us because our lives will be animated by the Holy Spirit. We'll actually know, and as we are known, because we'll be able to understand God in a way we don't on this earth. And yet, you know what? I don't like when I hear Christians say we can't know. My Bible tells me that God will teach us all things, but He's not going to teach you anything if you're not going to do anything. Why should He waste time giving you something you're not going to do anything but sit on? Wow. That's right. He's not going to waste His time feeding you and you're going to sit down and go to pot. That's what the world does. Jesus said that, Noah said, God said that when they sat down to eat, they rose up to play. Folks, hey, I love to eat, but I don't eat to live. Maybe I do. I got that one backward. But you know what I mean. I eat to live. I don't live to eat. And there's a lot of folks can't wait till they get to the table for the next meal because that's what their focus is all day long. They get up in the morning. What am I going to eat? It gets on my nerves, really, because I like to eat, but I don't want to hear about that the first thing in the morning. Let's just go get a bowl of cereal or whatever and get on with it, you know? But, this is that. Don't come to me like that because I'm not going to listen. And it does grate on my nerves. And the thing is that that's what the world is doing. They can't get from one restaurant to another fast enough to consume the next meal. And the result is we see it. You got folks walking around here looking like blimps. Man, I put my hand on some of these young ladies that drive Metro, and they're 19 or 25, and they feel like I've got a hold of one of them big sumo wrestlers, you know? And I'm saying, what young man would be interested in somebody like this, you know? I'm saying, this is not doesn't make any sense. And yet they keep on, you know, chowing down. They're killing themselves is what they're doing. And then, of course, we have this thing called entertainment. You know, I'm so bored, there's nothing to do. I need something to give me something to do. The Lord will give you all you want to do and more. He'll take your body and give you the ability to use it up and for His glory. That's what His Son did. He gave Himself a willing sacrifice and that was unto death. There's nobody in here that died yet for the Lord, have you? If you wouldn't, we're going to bury you before this night's over. But that's the truth. We're always complaining about, Lord, I just don't know how long I can go on like this. You ask Him for the strength to do it, and He'll give it to you. And when He gets done with you, He'll take you home and give you the rest that you're seeking. I'm going to say something that's going to be controversial. I have never seen a pastor that should be talking about retiring. That he might retire from the pulpit, but if he retires from serving the Lord, he might as well go home. Because God's not done with us till we leave here. And every day, He's got something He wants to do with your life. And when you start seeing life in that way, that He's working in you to do something to be a blessing to someone else, then you're going to start being one. Amen. Because you're going to know how to react because you're going to start thinking like your Father. Amen. And when you start thinking like Him, then, of course, life is going to get worth living. Yes. You know that? I anticipate just little things that God does in my life, like coming here in the plane. A woman sat down between me and Vivian. She wanted to look out the window. And I wanted to be on the aisle. So that left the middle seat empty. The little woman sat down there, and boy, she got to talking right away. I said, oh, boy, we're going to have a good time here. But the steward, I said, came over and said, ma'am, would you mind moving? Because I got somebody who is disabled, wants to be in that seat. And I said, okay, bye. And she got up and she started going down the aisle making cracks. Anyway, she sat another Christian woman down there. Barbara, are you here? She wasn't coming tonight. Okay. Well, she wanted to be here, but Metro doesn't run past 4:30. So she couldn't get where she lives. So she couldn't get a ride. But we talked the whole time from Chicago into Minneapolis. And you know, she was just a blessing. Those two women bless my heart, making that trip out here from Philadelphia, because they both wanted to talk, and they were receptive to what I had to say. Hey, I say it whether it's received or not, but when you're sharing and fellowshipping with somebody who is on the same path that you are, then you just have that camaraderie that encourages you as well. You know that? When I talk about the Lord to someone, it encourages me too, because you know what? I might be going through something at the time and I'm saying to you, hey, you know, you can hold on. God's got your back. He's going to make sure that you get through that, and you'll be surprised how he does it, because a lot of times he doesn't do it the way we want him to do it. We start to think, oh, Lord, when are you coming through? But I've learned just sit back and wait on him. And he's never failed me yet. He won't fail you either. He's never going to fail. He can't fail. God cannot fail. What he starts, he finishes in every instance. And you may run into folks and say, well, you don't think you can do that. When they tell me that, I just say, well, hey, I'll see you. I got something to do. Because I'm not interested in listening to a bunch of negative stuff about who God is. Because they don't know what he wants to do in your life. How are they going to sit back and tell you how he's going to do it, whether he's going to do it, or will he do it? I just said, Lord, I know you've already finished the work. Every one of our lives is finished as far as he's concerned. When he called us to himself, his love is what's wrapped around our lives. He's never going to abandon one of his sheep. And he's going to be able to prepare a house for you. You know what Psalm 90 says, doesn't it? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abideth under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't take me out of that place because he put me there. He put you there. Each one of you. Nobody can move you from where he's got your life. And the sooner we get that down in our hearts, the better we're going to start living this life and enjoying it. And you know how I know that it's true? Because he gave us his word to reinforce it and to tell us how it's been accomplished by those folks in Hebrews. They looked forward to the cross. They didn't have it all. You know, they saw the outline of what God was doing, but they didn't have the fullness of it. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them, but they could walk away from God and lose that relationship just as well. And it was some men that did that. You look at Saul, the King Saul. He decided he wanted to have it his way or what the people said. And God told him, hey, it ain't going to be that way. If you'd have listened to me, I would have confirmed you this day. But you know what? You can't get out of God's love. Because when his son died on Calvary, he cleaned up your sin debt, cleaned up my sin debt, and everybody else's, even those sinners out there in the world. There's nothing stopping them from being forgiven but me, myself, and I. And that's what you have to tell them. You can't tell them not about what they can do to get right. You got to tell them it's already been made right. Yes. And that they're on their way to a lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for man, but it's enlarging itself because people are forcing their way into there. God's never sent anybody to hell. The only one that can get you there is yourself by your choice. You either walk with him or you walk outside of that relationship with your own I am and say, I don't believe you, Lord. I don't want to know what you have to say about it. I have people tell me that, too. Man told me the other day, standing in front of the house, somehow we got on the conversation of the Bible, and he starts telling me about Horatio or something. I said, that sounds like Greek mythology to me. And he said, well, yeah, he's a one-eyed god. I said, oh, man, I've had enough. But he's listened to somebody who's told him that you can take what you want out of the Bible that fits into your theology and leave the rest alone, and then pick up some a bit of Greek mythology along with it and make yourself a religion. That's what the world is talking about, relativism. You know, let it be what you want it to be. But God's word is going to stand, what? Forever. It's not going to be turned around by man. And the finish line is not until you finish the race. And the way to finish the race is that, Noah did. He became an heir. Well, you know, somebody's going to inherit what I have. I've inherited what Jesus left for me. And so have you. You've got the promise that he's going to take you to himself one day as his bride. And we're going to celebrate the victory standing before his throne in heaven. And that we're going to be with him forever. And I don't know anybody who loved me anymore, or you, or anybody else in this world, than he has. Because he's called us to follow him. And the only way you're going to do it is by the faith that he established. As my sister said, Hebrews starts off with, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can quote that verse as, Jesus is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. May God bless you.